Let's pray. Our gracious, loving God and our Father, we ask for thy help. This morning, as we open thy precious word, we pray that thou wouldst lead and guide us to just the right portion. We pray that thou wouldst lead by thy Holy Spirit, that there would be blessing and encouragement for each one that is here. We pray that thou wouldst lead and guide and give us something for our hearts, Lord. We just pray for this. We ask this in thy worthy, precious name. Amen.
Allows it. Going to chapter 5, unless somebody else says something before them, but I guess my exercise behind these chapters is I feel there's a lot of practical instruction that we can get as believers. And in the fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul lays out various exercises that he had, which are good for us as Christians. There's a lot of practical things that we can get out of this. The thrust behind the chapter really is to have Christ flowing out of our lives and an example to the world. And then he touches on those various things that might hinder that and how to maybe get rid of them out of our lives. And then in chapter 5, it touches on the coming scene of glory, speaks about the judgment seat of Christ, touches on the love of Christ. So if it's the mind of the brethren, I wonder if maybe this would be a profitable portion for us to take up.
Therefore, seeing we have this mystery, not as we have received mercy, we faint not, but renounce the hidden things of dishonesty, not only craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. For we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are not always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, but the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in me. We have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us up also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might do the thanksgiving, might do thanksgiving of many renowned unto the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things that are, which are not seen, for the things which are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal.
As I mentioned, we have in this chapter a number of moral exercises that are brought forward that would be good for us to pay attention to and employ in our own lives, so that each one of us is a representation of Christ in this world and is bearing testimony to this world, so that those things are not hindered. And in this first verse, it's interesting that he mentions this word fainting. And it's, you might say, a problem today has always been an issue with just throwing our hands up and giving in. I was talking to a brother recently about this, and just any time that there's a work of God going on, we can always take it to the bank that the enemy is going to sow his full weight at that work, try to disrupt it, be it a collective work or an individual work, and at the end of the day, trying to stumble us as believers. And if we give in to that, our tendency is just to, again, throw our hands up, throw in the towel and be wearied by it. And it's interesting here, the Apostle Paul no doubt was a man of like passions like ourselves, and no doubt he felt the weight of the persecutions he endured and the work of the enemy to try to stop his ministry. And but he says, you know, his exercise was not to faint. And I think that's something that, you know, we need courage today, don't we?
That's good. I have a theory that the Lord wants willing servants. Seeing we have this ministry, the Lord's given every single one of us, even the youngest kid in this room, a service, a job that we can do for Him. And it is so easy to be discouraged by the attacks of the enemy, by our own failures. He says, as we have received mercy, we faint not. And so I think it's important for all of us to understand that we have to do, not perfect, not perfect, but we can trust the results in Him, and it's been put this way. God has called all of us. Humility and being smart and being hungry. That's what they talk about. You know, if you're looking for a good employee, that's what you're looking for. Hunger. They want to have drive. They're humble. They're not full of pride and they're smart. But